Vicki, we had talked about that there were different methods in which the application process could occur. That we could, obviously we can help advertise it, your office will help us advertise it, we'll spread the word via its various methods, but in the manner in which we accept applications, there were some options. And we could do that through the state job application website.
Correct.
Or there was an option to, how else can we do that? Would there be either it's an online form that you just fill out online through the job application website, or there could be somehow a mail-in application, or how would that work?
Essentially, there would be at least two options. The state of Nebraska uses the online application for all applicants. So generally we could employ that and require your candidates to complete that online application, which includes their education history, their employment history, knowledge, their skills, including references, with the ability to add any type of attachments such as a cover letter.
Okay.
So using that method, it's a full and complete application. The other option would be mainly to use the state of Nebraska's website to announce the director opening and provide the description. If you'd like to request additional materials, we could make that known as well. But bypass the formal online application and just direct your candidates to send a cover letter, a writing sample, or resume, whatever the board chooses, for review.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. So those are essentially using our website as a means to announce, mm-hmm. would happen both times, but either way, I mean, it depends on what kind of materials you're looking to review in that process and how thorough you would like that to be.
Okay. I see some obvious advantages to using the website. However, there has been some concern in the past from our agency regarding the accessibility of some of the state systems' web services. And I did submit an email to our manager of technology here at the Commission for the Blind, Wes Majerus, asking about the accessibility level of that site. And his response here, I'll just go ahead and just read this, but it says, Wes, I have been asked by the Office of State Personnel if we would want to use the state employment job application website. Is it fully or reasonably accessible? Actually, part of the verb objection was cut off on my printout. But and then Wes had responded to me that it had been quite a while since he had used it. I haven't been inside the NeoGov, the cloud-based site used for hosting Nebraska's state jobs. He says he hasn't been in for about a year. Utilizing it with a screen reader, that he had had considerable problems with it in the past. There had been some improvements, but it was still reasonably difficult to utilize with a screen reader. For that reason, I didn't know if the board would like to forego the use of the application process, requiring the applicant to go through the online forms, and instead apply by submittal of documents, and we'll just give them a list, a cover letter, a prepared resume, so on.
I've got some comments on that.
Absolutely.
I guess given that we don't know who is going to apply for this position, it could be a blind person, it could be a sighted person, I would not want to exclude anybody, anybody's desire to apply for this position, then have them face any accessibility issues. So unless we're reasonably sure that our state website, our state online filing is of a job application is totally accessible, I think we should go with this, the second method where we use our state website, accept letters and applications in that manner.
Okay. Any thoughts, Chad?
No, I kind of second that and agree, because if we, you know, if they can't access it, we don't want that to be a reason not to apply.
Certainly. Okay. All right. Well, as we work with the Office of State Personnel in the coming week, we'll keep that in mind. There's going to be lots of ways that the Office of State Personnel is going to help us to be able to advertise. Obviously, the website can still be used for that so people can find the job. I believe that we're going to advertise in some newspapers, both locally and around the country. I know that some of our, we have some organizations that we're members of, the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind, the Council of CSAVR, Council of State Agencies for the Vocational
State Administrators of Vocational Rehabilitation.
Thank you. Some of our consumer groups here in the state of Nebraska, the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska, the American Council for the Blind of Nebraska, they have resources to help advertise, and we would certainly appreciate their assistance in getting the word out when that announcement is made, so that we can make sure that we cast as wide a net as possible to attract and to find that individual who'd be the perfect candidate. Vicki, is there anything else that we haven't covered today that we need to cover related to being able to get the job posted next week? I realize that there would be maybe some wordsmithing and stuff here and there, but have we covered what you think we need to?
Yes. The wordsmithing, yes. Kind of reviewing that job description, mm-hmm. additional time, getting the final that way.
Okay.
A solid closing date, or when you choose to close down the announcement, that would need to be
okay.
included as well.
All right.
And secondly, of course, what method and who the contact person would be for sending that resume or additional or the documentation that you're looking for.
Okay.
And our office can certainly assist in that process as well and be the funnel for you.
Okay.
So that's an option for you.
So the documents I'm imagining that you'd be asking them for, like we said before, would be a cover letter, a resume, references. When we had talked, and I would like any input from the board here if there's something else that they would like to see. When we talked, I had also had a meeting with the Nebraska Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing. Because they went through this process a year or two ago to find a new executive director, and one of the tools that they did to help the Board of Commissioners narrow down those final applicants to the ones that they wanted to interview was they sent a questionnaire. So there were two or three questions that they asked the applicants to answer, and then those answers came in with the applications. Is that something that the board would be interested in doing? Or just go ahead and let the applications come in as it was just a cover letter and a resume?
Go ahead, Tom.
I was just going to say the cover letter and resume to me should speak, enough to know whether they should be a qualified candidate.
If I could add, I think that it was mentioned maybe an example of writings. Did you mention that?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Would that be something that, you know, instead of having two requirements, maybe three? And could you expand upon what you mean by examples or writings?
That's used a lot of times, well, for instances where, you know, obviously your to-be employee would be doing quite a bit of communicating via, you know, writing method. If it's preparing statutes or fiscal notes or whatnot, just to get some semblance of their ability to pull together clear communication.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That would be good to know.
So I have a question. Would the having the questions in addition to the resume and cover letter, would that do that, accomplish that?
That could as well. Depends on how the questions are formatted.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly. And again, if just to clarify, if the board is choosing to collect the resumes and that initial information, then that, as you said, Mike, that those additional supplementals would be an after the fact.
Oh.
But again, you, as a suggestion, could at least narrow down your top candidates and then identify perhaps those that meet your solid criteria and then ask them to expound more. So that may be an option.
I'm sorry, I think I didn't understand you correctly. Mm-hmm. If we're collecting the applications, this that questionnaire would be something, what do you mean by after the fact?
Yes, in order for them to provide answers to those questions, we would almost need to have a link on the website to those questions.
Correct.
Because that could not be transmitted electronically unless you ask them to prepare that in a separate document.
That's what I thought you meant.
At front.
I guess I just assumed that we would have, there would be some, just in the same way that we list, you know, please send in these documents, we could also say on a separate document, please, please include a separate document answering the following questions, and then that would be included along with their cover letter.
Yes, that's
okay.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so okay. They would know when they view the advertisement on the website, they would be aware of those questions.
Right.
And they could include that in the envelope when they mail it in.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Right.
Some of the questions that the Nebraska Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing had used were related to like a budgetary question, asking for some philosophy in budget practices. You know, how would you handle this type of situation? There was also some questions, you know, about managerial questions, personnel management questions. If, like I said, if those were the types of things we'd be interested in, we could also come up with our own if we wanted to ask about training philosophy for blindness skills. We could certainly do that. Whatever the questions were that we'd be interested in. Obviously, if we don't do something like this, which is fine, I'm sure that any type of question that might appear on this would end up being something that we would possibly have as a verbal interview question later on.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is a lot of these questions might be actually asked in an interview.
Right. It would just be if we had quite a few candidates that this would help us. It's almost like a pre-interview.
Right.
It helps you to narrow down a few. If we're trying to limit, say, the number of candidates that we bring in to three or four, and we had five or six candidates that on paper looked good, this would be a tool that we could use to help narrow that down a little further to make that decision of the three or four we wanted to bring in.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Mike, are we at a point where we have those questions? Because we're talking about posting this on the coming up on Monday.
Well, we would have to wordsmith something real quick, and that's fine. I'm happy to do that.
Are you comfortable with that?
I'm comfortable with doing that right now, actually, if we needed to. But
is that something you want to do?
We could make something work. I have the questions in front of me that that the Commission for the Deaf used. I did go through them and change them so that they were agency appropriate. And if they were something that we wanted to use, we could. If we wanted to get rid of a couple and add our own, we could do that as well. If you'd like me to read them, I will.
Sure.
Okay. The questions that they asked applicants to answer were, was one, describe your professional experience establishing programs, goals, and objectives in a public, private, or nonprofit program or setting whose primary purpose was to serve individuals, who are deaf or hard of hearing, including the programs, include the programs, your role, who carried out the plan to achieve the goals and objectives, and how progress was measured. If you have not had any opportunity to work in a program whose primary purpose was to serve individuals who were deaf or hard of hearing, please describe a comparable professional experience you have had related to the same issues. So obviously we would change some additional wording in there, but that was one example. Another question was, describe your professional experience in developing and managing a budget to achieve program goals and objectives. I know our business manager here I've had somebody give me an interview question, and I guess I won't state what that interview question is yet. Three, describe your experience with the state budget and legislative process, including a time when you were required to advise or defend a position to the legislature regarding proposed legislation that would impact a program or function for which you were responsible. If you have not had an opportunity to work with the legislative process specifically, please describe the most complex experience you have had developing and presenting a proposal to a decision-making body where you were required to advise on or defend a position. And then the final question that they had was, describe your experience interacting with, and I did change it here, the blind and visually impaired community, special interest groups, and or other stakeholders with a strong interest in a program, board, or commission that you managed. I guess just for it's probably obviously what my position is, but I would like to tweak these just a little bit, just even if we just use the same questions, just because I think for the reasons stated before, it gives us some, as we sit down as a board together and review applicants, it gives us some additional detail that we could use to narrow down those individuals. Mm-hmm. There isn't, it's all about, being that front person, representing our organization, budgeting. I think these questions are universal in state government and would probably work very well in a generic way for us as well. And we can get even more specific with candidates in the interview process. Oh, anybody have any other comments?
I guess, Dr. Van Zandt, over the years you've probably considered other opportunities and looked at least job openings. If you were, knowing that you were qualified, would you look at this and say, oh, geez, it's not worth it, to do the extra effort, or would you say?
No, I would say this gives me an extra opportunity to put more in your thought process than just the resume.
Okay.
I think it's a good idea to have the questions.
Okay, well, thank you. I just, as a, someone that's been out there in the field and considered other opportunities, I...
If I may?
Yes.
I agree, questions are valuable. Looking at it from a recruiting perspective, and similar to Dr. Van Zandt's reply, if you're looking at this posting and you see several pages of information, mm-hmm. you know, we don't want to lose your candidate. With that, I would suggest using questions, but to keep them brief.
Yes, okay. True.
Because, again, we've got a lot of information you want to relay to your potential candidates, mm-hmm. and making sure that they grasp, you know, the key points, obviously, and the knowledges and skills and experience that you're looking for, but, and then just to really condense those additional questions.
Okay.
Yeah, good idea.
Okay.
Can we only give them so much space?
yeah. Well. And that's, give us a tweet. 25 words or less.
Thank you.
Chad, any thoughts?
No, I do like the idea of the questions to help kind of narrow things down and,
okay.
and kind of gives a chance for a candidate maybe to say, oh, wow, look, I can show off, so to speak, you mm-hmm. know, by answering some of these questions. Mm-hmm. So,
can I add?
Certainly.
The hiring process can be really, really time consuming, and you may well get a lot of where the resumes are all comparable and the cover letters are all great. This gives you, you know, a little more chance to narrow, and it's I think it'll be important, because especially having to do the interviews in the public manner as you're talking about, it just will really help the process.
So the questions here that, you know, that I had read through, you know, one was obviously related about budget, one was about, you know, presenting information in front of a legislative body, another one was about working with community and special interest groups, and another one was about providing experiences with, you know, establishing programs and providing services. Are those the topics that the board would like to just to continue to see? Just maybe we'll tweak the wording just a little bit to condense it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mark.
Yeah, Mike. I trust your discernment on this. If you're willing to kind of tweak that and get it ready for the.
I would be happy to take to tweak that a little bit, and then also work with the off-state personnel to make sure that's in a format that will work well with the. Advertising the position so that we can get those comments back or get those answers back. All right, so we did this on pretty much everything except for the timeline. So would I hear a motion then to include these types of questions in the job application process?
Yeah, I so moved.
Okay, Mark moves to include questions of this type. Okay, Chad has accepted or seconded it. Roll call vote, Mark.
Yes.
Chad.
Yes.
And I say yes as well. Okay, the last item on our agenda, and we have been cruising right along here. It's only 10:22, and we had the agenda had gone to 11:20. yeah, it does. Only been an hour and a half. Vicki, how long do you need for your presentation?
Actually, just a few minutes.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Well, we'll just go ahead and cruise right along then, and turn the floor over to you.
Give her the mic since she'll be talking for a while. You're welcome to come forward if you want, or just from there, whatever you like.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to work with everyone, and best of luck in your search for a replacement. When we had visited, you had asked if we could probably perhaps write a code of conduct for committee members and as the search goes on. And unfortunately, there's not anything that I can point to immediately. Generally, just some overreaching federal guidelines, of course, state EEO and that type of thing. So essentially, it's really during the process and your search committee and the commission members, again, just treating everyone equally as we all do, in adhering to Title VII. There's again, if you've got your members that are on in sync with knowing what the expectations are of the new director, you've already done a well job of defining all the tasks and duties and responsibilities, established what those requirements are for the director. And just maintaining consistency throughout that process is key. We always recommend doing a structured interview and again, asking same questions of all your candidates, which helps to, again, kind of keep everything in line and you're adhering to all those EEO laws and equal treatment. There's so many variances with boards and commissions as far as leeway and, again, the advertising, the posting, the options of what you use to collect the applicants and so on. So we've had good discussion and good follow-up as far as that goes. So essentially what state personnel and myself and our classification and compensation team would do is just actually to be there along the way, again, offered to collect those resumes for you. And then I've got your timeline identified and so on. What we would be typically happening in a selection process would be to look at that first level of those minimum requirements and ensuring that all of your candidates meet those. And then next step is, again, that review process and identifying perhaps ahead of time, again, what are the major skills that you're looking for. And we've seen several different ways to identify that second level. You could actually do a numerical rating of your candidates, or basically just a plus or minus that tells you, you know, your individual has experience in budgeting and the outreach and the consumer groups and all of that. So I guess the key thing is really just, again, we're knowing what we're looking for and the expectations and being consistent in how that the methods are applied.
One quick question based on your what you said so far. As we compile that information during the review process and then even the interview process, we're going to have our notes, our matrix that we're keeping to help us make that determination. At the end of the interview process, does this need to be turned back into you?
Not at all. No.
So I didn't know if this need to be kept as a record, if this is destroyed afterwards, or how that works.
It's best practice to keep record of it for at least 4 years,
okay,
in case there is a challenge.
Okay.
But again, the search, you know, Dr. Van Zandt's position is outside of the state classified system. And again, you're the board being responsible for those actions. Anything collected.
Might have to step out, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Anything, again, the notes and whatnot, miscellaneous, just be the possession of the board.
Okay.
Right. Okay. And I know we had talked a little bit about Public Records Act, and I think that's something we'll probably need to check into a little further unless you've had some additional time to reach out to perhaps the Attorney General's office on as a list of finalists is identified and so on. But
right. It was a matter of whether or not we needed to make that list public.
No.
And whether or not the interview process had to be public,
well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I will most definitely be checking on that. But
okay.
Again, I think overall, just from a HR perspective, you've done well in identifying, again, duties and responsibilities and just kind of stepping through that process. So okay. Glad to help.
Okay. Okay, well, I appreciate it. I appreciate all your help so far. The one thing that I've mentioned to the board several times is that everything we're doing, I want to make ensure that in no way can, will, or could somebody come back and really have a grounds to challenge the decision that we end up making. I'd like this to be as fluid and, yeah, and as possible, and that there's no questions that come up later. So, all right. We are done. I mean, we've reached to the end of the official agenda. There were reasons why I had to put the public comment where I did, way up front. I did so with the intention that I thought most of the comments were going to be, that I had heard of so far, were people coming to speak in favor of a specific individual to be made, to be appointed as interim director, and that those comments would have been made then. Is there anybody out in the who would like to seek the floor, and we could do another public comment time now that before we wrap up the meeting?
Parrish, I just have one.
So Amy Parrish, okay. You take it, Amy.
Mike, I actually have a quick comment too.
Okay, just one moment. Was there somebody besides Amy?
Carlos Serra.
Okay, anyone else?
Jim with a question.
Okay.
Jeff, not a follow-up.
All right, real quick, I'm pass the microphone to Kathy here.
I just wanted to make a comment about the interviews. You had talked about you didn't know if they're supposed to be in a, you know, they're supposed to be in a public meeting, but you didn't know if you'd have to go in an executive session.
Correct.
In my mind, you would definitely need to go into executive session.
Okay.
Because the other three candidates, the four candidates, could all sit in on the other interviews, which would be a big, it would not be fair to the first candidate to have everyone else have all the questions.
That's
good point.
Very good.
I can take this.
Pass mic
from
Amy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good morning. Just really briefly, on behalf of the members of the National Federation of the Blind, Dr. Van Zandt, just want to express heartfelt congratulations and thanks to you for all your many years of excellent service, your great belief in the abilities of the blind and representing us well throughout these many years of your service. You've always been gracious to partner with us in activities and services and programs offered, and that has not gone unnoticed by us. A lot of other states very envious of the support that you have provided for consumers of our state. So I just wanted to get that on the record, publicly thanking you very much for your excellent service.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Who's next?
And Carlos.
Yeah, thank you. This has to deal more with the July 29th meeting. I know you're going to go over the applications. Is, I assume that will be the whole meeting about. So my question is, will you expect a report from the agency or the interim?
Yes.
So just because.
So the only thing that we would be changing for the July 29th meeting is that the focus topic will
okay.
be postponed.
Sounds good.
So,
okay.
But yeah, the board would still expect a report from the, in this case, the interim executive
right.
director.
Okay.
And. A budget update and so on, yes.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim had a question.
All right, I appreciate the opportunity. First of all, I can't speak for ACP since Mark is doing that. I don't think Mark would object if I did this. I echo Amy's sentiment on, with regard to the American Council of Blind as well. Pearl has always been there. always been willing to show up at the state convention and speak and so on and so forth, and for that we appreciate the engagement and the involvement. So, apologize for doing that, Mark. I didn't mean that by you. But anyway, the question I have, and maybe I might have been sleeping during the meeting, which if I was, I wasn't snoring. Are you folks employing a search committee? Did I hear that, or was that not discussed? Or are we just going to...
Well, the board is the search committee.
So there is no nationwide search committee that you're going to implore?
We are not going to a third party. We're not going to pay a third party entity to go headhunt someone for us.
Okay. That was the question that I had. Any other question I'd like to, or a suggestion, of course, do with it what you will. I know that the July 29th meeting is going to be, you know, reviewing the numerous applications that you have, whether you have 5, whether you have 50. Have you given thought to, rather than, let's say you have 30, reviewing all 30 in one setting and possibly suggesting to folks, board members, come up with 3 or 4 that you might think might be worth pursuing and comparing notes at that point, rather than taking 4 or 5 hours in executive session?
We have not discussed that yet. This is the time in which ideas like that need to be brought up and thought about. I appreciate it, Jim.
Right. That was Julie's idea. I'm just echoing.
Okay. When creating that schedule that we did, let me sift through my pile here to get back down to the schedule. We were going to tentatively stop accepting applications, or at least start the review of applications on July 20th, meaning that we will take all the applications that we have as of July 20th and set those aside, and that's what we're going to review on the 29th. If applications happen to come in after the 20th, they would not be considered unless we made it through all that entire pool that we review and decide that there's nobody worth interviewing, or that we don't find some, or through the process we don't find somebody. Only then would we ever go back and look at any that came in after the 20th. But the idea is that we would take all, as of the 20th, we would take all of those applications, and there we'll have to work with the Office of State Personnel to help us get those into a format that's accessible, which is a great, you know, when I made a comment earlier about mailing them in. Mm-hmm. I think that it might even be said that we only accept applications electronically.
There you go.
Email. You know, even though we're not, instead of using the web forms, here's an email address that you have to send it to. And then that way we ensure it's in an electronic format that everybody on the board would be able to access. That is going to allow the board, Jim, as you're familiar with, we always try to have materials a week in advance.
Right.
The board could start to review those that week prior.
Mike, should we make that email address be the email that we always get?
We could do that. It depends if we want to have the Office of State Personnel filter out the people who apply that don't meet the minimum qualifications. If you want to have them filter it out, well, then we need to have an email address. Have them send it to an email address that they have access to. So that would kind of be the determining factor there. And in fact, I would almost encourage that, just because then we're not trying to keep track of those for a month and possibly lose somebody's application. We can let that be in the hands of the experts down there at the Office of State Personnel, and then we can get those electronically from them after the 20th.
That sounds good. Have them, you know, filter out the ones that definitely don't meet the minimum qualifications, and then after the 20th, they can just email it to our commissioner's
right.
account. same time, and then by the 29th, we should all have a pretty good idea of, you know, the top tier. That,
yeah.
So that way we won't have to take forever at the executive session.
Right. You know, I don't know how long that'll take. You know, we could take an hour, we could take 5 hours. I don't know. I plan on doing the agenda for the July 29th meeting in such a manner. It's similar to when we've done the executive director annual evaluation, where we'll do all the business, normal business ahead up front.
Right.
The last thing we'll be left with is the review of the applications. That way, if there's anybody there from the public, they can be excused. And whoever is left for providing us transportation and stuff back home can go watch TV for a while. And we'll call them on their cell phones when we're all done.
Applebee's is right across the street.
Yeah. The way that I have always done this is when I've done job interviews for the university is to use a matrix. I think of it like a spreadsheet where I have a list of all the applicants that we have applications for, and across the top I have different categories. So maybe the first set of those would be the mandatory requirements. Well, those are some, that's a yes or a no. That's a check mark or no check mark. And make it through those. And then you get into the preferred, you know, criteria or whatever, that can either be a check mark or whatnot. And then lastly, you might have some area to keep track of comments and stuff like that for during the interview process. So if board members would like to start to fill that out ahead of time, and so that they're prepared to have those discussions when we meet, that would be fantastic. Certainly, if we don't quite make it all the way through, we can get through the last of the applicants in the meeting. But I would like to get through as much of it as possible ahead of time.
Mike?
Yes.
This is Kathy Brown.
Yeah.
I just had a question.
Hold on.
Jeff, is it? Jeff.